I looked up and saw this thing in the sky.
In a town where one of the most famous UFO sightings of all time happened in 1950, McMiniman's Hotel Oregon presents the 24th annual McMiniman's UFO Fest in McMinnville, Oregon, May 17th and 18th. Join us for an all-star weekend with the world's best speakers on all things ufology. U.S. Navy fighter pilot Ryan Graves, the first active duty pilot to come forward publicly about regular UAP sightings and to testify in front of Congress, will appear, along with historian Garrett Graff, Suzanne and Scott Ramsey, experts on the Aztec New Mexico flying saucer crash, also MUFON's Ron James and Roderick Martin, plus a parade, costume contest, live music, and more. Make your plans before it's too late. The McMiniman's UFO Fest lands this May 17th and 18th in McMinnville, Oregon. Get your tickets to see the speakers at UFOFest.com. That's UFOFest.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
A confirmed attack is taking place against the United States. Aliens from an unknown location have been reported in multiple states.
We are controlling transmission.
There is another world that awaits, far beyond what we can see and feel. A place that's anything but ordinary.
What you believe might not be. Step into the zone of the best unknown. UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracies and cover-ups. Into the paranormal we go.
Ah, yes, from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest. Somewhere between the paranormal and the abnormal. You know, we don't just talk about the paranormal around Halloween as we close in now on under 2 weeks until All Hallows Eve. But we're, of course, paranormal all year long on this program. On that note, do join us Halloween night for our Dead Air broadcast. When we talk about paranormal activity, it is something that happens at all hours of the day and night. Sometimes it never goes away, that being the activity itself. Now, as far as the stories are concerned as well, those have also not gone away. People have reported encountering all sorts of what we would deem to be paranormal. It starts with apparitions or even full-bodied encounters that some report. Maybe there's just a weird energy, a supernatural energy, perhaps an otherworldly being, whatever that may be. All of these certainly have been reported over the years. We've heard plenty of theories as well on why these things happen. Does it manifest through portals, via a gateway between realms? This theory behind portals is, that they're openings through which energies and otherworldly entities can interact with our reality. Witnesses describe eerie occurrences such as unexplained lights, strange sounds, and ghostly apparitions near these portals, suggesting that there is a connection of some sorts. Perhaps you've heard of the Upside Down. It is a dark dimension made popular in the hit Netflix show Stranger Things. Well, it's a metaphor for what's hidden beneath the surface, sometimes within the darkness, where the rules of our reality no longer apply, where the ordinary becomes extraordinary, and the extraordinary becomes downright terrifying. It is a realm where the boundaries of our understanding are pushed to their limits. But just as the characters in Stranger Things ventured into the Upside Down to uncover its secrets, ordinary individuals are encountering their own paranormal. So I'm throwing that out as a possibility, but there are others. Is this poltergeist? Is it telekinetic? Of course, there could also be a natural explanation for some of these phenomena. This paranormal activity, I say that in quotes, paranormal activity, it really could be normal for all we know. And it could actually exist in our dimension. So I'm fascinated tonight to talk with Steve Stockton, who has been researching the unexplained for over 35 years. He is a world traveler, a veteran outdoorsman, author of several outstanding books. And tonight we're going to discuss his series, which is co-authored with Jason Kent. It's called Legends and Stories. If you've never heard Steve speak on these subjects, you're really in for a treat. The last time that he was on, we were talking a lot about cold cases. These are individuals who, for the large part, were indigenous and may or may not have been murdered. But it is a real treat to have a Steve all to ourselves tonight. So welcome, sir.
Wow, thanks for that introduction. I appreciate it.
It's awesome to have you here. Legends and Stories pretty much says it all. Tell us where this began for you, going down this route where you'd open up a pad of paper back in the day and now doing it on the computer to write about all sorts of fascinating things that fall into the Upside Down.
Yeah, it started out with my first book, Strange Things in the Woods, and that's just what it sounds like. It was stories that I'd gathered over the years of just strange things with the theme of being in the woods. And I had a lot of other strange stories that didn't fit within that constraint, but over the years, I was a late in life, unexpected baby, and my parents were the age of a lot of my friends' grandparents. So when we went to visit their friends, I'd usually be the only kid in the room. And anytime there was a lull in the conversation, I'd butt in politely and ask, do you know any weird stories? Do you know any ghost stories or any local legends? And it grew from that and eventually grew into Strange Things in the Woods. And then I've continued that on. I have My Strange World, which is my own paranormal experiences. And that grew out of being on shows like this where people would say, well, these are other people's stories. What kind of experiences have you had? And that's where that book came from. And just kind of fell into it backwards, but I noticed in a lot of these missing person cases, there would be a strange or an unusual element, and carried that tradition on. And now my biggest YouTube channel, Among the Missing, have almost 100,000 subscribers over there. And that's what I do. I delve into missing person cases. Some of them are easily explainable, misadventure, people being overconfident and ill-prepared. But there's also a lot of cases that do have a supernatural element. And I've been asked, is it portals? Is it Bigfoot? Is it UFOs? Is it something that lives underground in the cave systems? Is it human predation? Is it wild animals? And the answer is yes. It's all of the above. There are certain cases that fit within each one of those, and then some cases that don't really fit anything at all.
Right. They kind of fall into that gray area where we don't know really what to think of them or make of them.
Yeah, exactly. And it is kind of like the Upside Down that you mentioned there. There have been cases where people went missing that were later fortunately found, where suddenly they were hiking on a trail, like the Appalachian Trail perhaps, and then suddenly they weren't on the trail anymore. They look around behind them. They can't even see where the trail was that they're no longer on. They're in a place that really, technically, necessarily doesn't exist, but where they are at that moment. And in some cases, they can see and hear people searching for them. They try to yell back, but they can't be seen or heard, even though they can see the people.
So literally here one moment, gone the next.
Exactly. It's a twinkling of an eye. It's like sometimes there's a rift in the very fabric of time and space that these people unknowingly or inadvertently step through and suddenly find themselves somewhere that they're not familiar with, no longer on a trail. And what would you do in a situation like that?
Yeah, I've heard it told to me in one very, way that stuck with me even to this day, which was that there was an individual that was walking down a trail somewhere and, putting one foot in front of the other, and here they are, and all of a sudden their leg disappears. It went into supposedly the opening to one of these portals, and they were able to pull themselves out and turn around and walk the other direction. But this person was very close, they believed, to walking into an opening. Have you had reports of instances like that where it appears someone was just, sucked out of thin air?
Yeah, there are some cases like that where there is absolutely no trace, or maybe their footprints or their scent, if they're using tracking canines, will get to a certain point and then it just stops. Nothing beyond there. And you and I both know that it would be almost impossible to go missing and not leave any trace of anything, not leave anything behind. And those are the really strange cases, the ones that just make no sense, literally.
Well, and of course, as we saw in Stranger Things, and I think I can spoil this now because they haven't released any new content in a couple of years, and the strike is only affecting things, but basically the character is able to access the upside down through a tree well. Basically, the remnants of a tree, they fall through it and into the portal they go, and into the upside down, where anything can literally happen.
Yeah. It's almost reminiscent of the old 70s TV show Land of the Lost, where the family are boating down a river. They didn't know it, but they pass through a portal and then find themselves in a place where it looks like where they were, but it's different. Maybe they have to fight dinosaurs or aliens, or it's very reminiscent of that to me.
And of course, people have reported encountering a variety of entities through one of these portals, right?
Yeah, there's been cases like if you look at some of the Dogman cases, there have been cases where people saw an upright canine on two legs walk out of what appeared to be a portal and continue on its merry way, and then the portal closed back up. What on earth is that?
Exactly. Very interesting. So you've experienced some of these strange things in the woods yourself, but you've also heard stories from others who have reported that while they were out in the woods, something happened that they could not explain. They couldn't wrap their head around.
Yeah, that's very common. I've had experiences like that in the Smokies, where the woods would just go silent. I mean, to the point where it's like somebody hit the mute button. You can't hear the wind in the leaves. You can't hear water. You can't hear people in the distance. That's always been a heads up to me that I'm in a place that I don't need to be in, and I turn around and head a different direction. But that's a common experience along the Appalachian Trail. Hunters, hikers, a lot of people have experienced that, where the woods just go deathly silent all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's probably a good indication to tuck tail in to get out of there as quickly as you can when the woods go silent and there's not a sound to be heard. You never know what could happen next. We're talking with Steve Stockton. We'll have more after this.
Into the paranormal. Paranormal.
This is Paranormal News. A coolant leak on Russia's side of the International Space Station is impacting operations. NASA has delayed a spacewalk as Roscosmos continues to analyze what caused an ammonia leak in a science module more than a week ago. It's the third time in the past year that Russian equipment has leaked. It claims the ones this past February and last December were caused by strikes from micrometeoroids. Cosmonauts have planned their own spacewalk next week to take a closer look. If the leak can be repaired, NASA plans to send an all-female crew on a spacewalk for just the fourth time ever on the day before Halloween. George Henry, Paranormal News.
Here one moment, gone the next. I'm Jeremy Scott talking with Steve Stockton tonight, author of the series of books, Legends and Stories, from the Appalachian Trail, from the Pacific Crest Trail, from the Continental Divide Trail. If you have comments tonight, you can join us anywhere from in the United States and Canada at 503-506-0396. That's 503-506-0396. Skype callers internationally at ITP51 to join the program. Interesting, to think about what is out there. When we talk about these mysterious circumstances of these people who go missing and then they're found sometimes many hours or days later, what are some of the stranger ones, the conditions in which they've been found in, Steve?
One of the most unusual things, there have been people found in an open area, like a boulder field, for example. It's usually an area that's already been previously thoroughly searched, and then suddenly they're just there. And in some cases, they appear to have fallen from a great height. And even though there's no height for them to have fallen from, and the interesting thing about that, several different Native American tribes have a legend of a creature that can disguise itself as a rock. And when an unsuspecting person comes by, it literally swallows them. Like you step on a rock, you disappear into it. And then when it gets whatever it wants out of you, it spits you back out. And just in my opinion, if that were something that happened, you might look like you'd fallen from a great distance. There's examples of that, particularly in the Pacific Northwest. And then also here where I'm at in New England, when I can't remember if it's the Mi'kmaq or the Penobscot or one of those tribes here have the same legend. And there have been people found in the area known as the Bennington Triangle, where that meet that criteria. There was a hunter that had gone missing, and when they found him, it appeared that he'd been crushed to death.
An area where strange things tend to happen, so does that mean that there are certain areas, obviously, where this happens more than others?
Yeah, if you look at some of the cases, it's almost like the ley lines that they have in Britain, where you can kind of connect the dots. Of course, it's easy to connect the dots in reverse, but there appear to be certain areas where it's more concentrated than others. And that's my next series of books. I'm going to be looking into the various triangles. Like I said, there's the Bennington Triangle, the Lake Michigan Triangle, the Nevada Triangle. And these are all places where there's an inordinate amount of missing people. Not only that, but plane crashes and just odd things that happen. And another really interesting thing, if you take a map of the clusters of these missing people, and they tend to concentrate more in certain areas. Now, some of that's understandable, like Yosemite. A lot of people go missing in Yosemite. It's the country's second most visited national park. But if you overlay those clusters with a map of cave systems in the U.S., they sort of line up to the point that it looks beyond coincidence. Is there something underground in these areas that's taking
something
people for
coming
for whatever
up reason from the ground and snatching individuals out on a family vacation or something like that? Frightening thought. We'll continue our conversation with Steve Stockton tonight. I'm Jeremy Scott. Somewhere between the paranormal and abnormal. More to come. Our broadcast tonight will continue after the news.
parallel dimension that mirrors the world as we know it. A portal between worlds, one that challenges our perception of reality. Where supernatural phenomena occurs, monstrous creatures lurk, and nothing is impossible. A place of magic and wonder, where time stands still, where the line between the ordinary and the extraordinary is often thinner than we could ever imagine.
From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon, somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, you're traveling into the paranormal with Jeremy Scott.
Thanks, Gene. And my guest tonight is Steve Stockton. Steve, tell us, the audience, your YouTube channels again.
The main one is Among the Missing. That's where I cover the missing person cases. And then I have 13 Past Midnight, which was actually my first YouTube channel. And I talk paranormal subjects over there, some of my true experiences and other things, and along that vein.
You were mentioning clusters and the connection to caves, cave systems. What have you found there?
Well, one of the most unusual things is people that have gone missing and are wandering around trying to find their way will report that they hear a voice coming from a cave. Sometimes it's an unrecognizable voice, but other times it might be a family member or loved one that's either thousands of miles away at the time, or maybe even deceased. But it's like something in that cave is mimicking a voice they know to try to lure them into that cave. And there's been other stories like that where maybe somebody would hear what sounds like a baby crying in a cave. You know, if you hear a baby cry, you want to go look and make sure everything's okay. But I wouldn't go into a cave if I heard a baby crying inside one or heard somebody calling my name, especially somebody that's deceased.
Almost as if it's a conduit of sorts.
Yeah, or a bit of bait, if you will, to try to get you in there for whatever reason.
Absolutely, that could be it as well. But where these people go missing near caves opens the possibility that one of these creatures or entities that we've hinted on so far in our conversation could be to blame and could exist or reside within the cave system.
Yeah, that's correct. That's one of the theories, that there's something underground that takes people.
And that would explain why those individuals are, never found in some cases, right? Because
absolutely,
who's going to look there?
Yeah, the ones where there's no trace of them. If they went into somewhere and either were taken further underground or stepped through a portal or something, that would be a rational explanation, even as irrational as it sounds, for leaving no trace. Because, no matter how deep you get in the woods, it would be hard to get to a point where nobody could find you, I would think. Now, I've been in some places, particularly in the Smoky Mountains, where I'm probably the first person that's set foot there in hundreds of years anyway, but we're talking massive, massive search efforts with drones, helicopters, tracking dogs, volunteers on foot, horseback, and ATV, no trace. Or if they do find something, it makes no sense. Like maybe they'll find their boots, for example. Oftentimes when people do go missing, their footwear will be found left behind.
You mentioned that the voice coming from within the cave could be meant to lure them. It could also be the victim who has been lured there and who has perished there and is now perhaps maybe haunting the cave.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well. There, it's a whole different experience out there, especially in the deep woods. You see and hear things that don't necessarily make a lot of sense. And when you get in really, really deep woods like that, and I'm not talking about just trail hiking and things like that, but actually off trail into the deep woods, you realize how small and infinitesimal you are as a human in this vast expanse of nature.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Steve. So tell us about some of these cluster areas where they seem to be.
Well, I already mentioned Yosemite. And again, it's only America's second most visited national park, but there tend to be a high number of experiences there of people that go missing or that run into trouble in some kind of regard like that. Some are found, some are not. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is the most visited national park in the country, it has a lot of strange disappearances too, even though it's not the majority of cases aren't from there. There are cases there, like the Dennis Martin case that happened in 1969.
I believe you've told us about that one previously, but we likely have a new audience tonight. Give us the Reader's Digest version of that case.
Okay, the condensed version. Dennis and his father, brother, and grandfather were up in the Cades Cove area, above Cades Cove, in a place called Spence Field on Father's Day, 1969. And I remember this well when it happened. I was just about a year younger than Dennis. I think I was 5 going on 6, and he was 6 going on 7. And they met another family there at Spence Field, also named the Martins. And that's another thing with a lot of these cases. There are synchronicities, if you will, almost a Fortean type things. They met another family named the Martins, also had some kids, and the fathers decided, you know, let the kids play together. Well, they were playing hide and seek, or perhaps trying to sneak up on and scare the adults. And Dennis's father, and Dennis was wearing a red sweater. That's another thing. People that go missing, often or not, tend to be wearing red. And you'd think that'd be just the opposite. If you're wearing a bright color, you'd be easier to find. But Dennis' father watched him go behind a clump of bushes as a hiding spot, and then a few minutes later, the other boys had already came out or finished their game, and he thought, well, where's Dennis? Now the other kids have seen him since they started playing. He goes directly to the clump of bushes, walks all the way around it, and then into it. There's no Dennis, and that was the last time he ever saw him. He realized then that Dennis was missing. The Appalachian Trail passes right through there. He took off in a run down the Appalachian Trail while Dennis's grandfather went to the ranger station to get help. And I think at that time, that was the most massive search and rescue effort that the Smokies had ever seen, maybe one of the biggest in the country. And no trace of him was ever found.
That speaks volumes, but if that was the only case, it would be... interesting. The fact that it is not the only case makes it very, very intriguing that there are many of these cases that still to this day are unsolved.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And there's even more there in the Smokies. In the 70s, Trini Gibson disappeared near Clingman's Dome. Thelma Pauline Polly Melton disappeared from the Dudley Creek area of the Smokies. Again, no trace. It's like I said, too often happens to be some sort of coincidence that these people, they go missing and leave no trace.
Is there a most likely reason why these people go missing in your mind?
Well, like I said, there are possible natural explanations. People that are unprepared or overconfident. If you're far enough out into the woods, you know, even a small injury can become significant with the prospect of hypothermia or that sort of thing. But it wouldn't account for not being able to be found. I mean, if you're injured and there are people out searching for you, you're not going to be able to travel very far, yet they're never found. So that's one of the, like I said, somewhat rational explanation, but it's kind of an Occam's razor type thing that if you eliminate everything else, then what you're left with is the most simple and probably correct solution. But it's like the laws of nature don't always apply. It's more supernatural in some of these cases.
And so that opens the possibility that there is some sort of truth to the existence of these openings or these portals, where literally that reality or that world can interact with our world.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in a lot of those cases, like, say, for example, where there's a lot of UFO activity, there will also be Bigfoot sightings or sightings of some other type of entity or a haunting or poltergeist or the creature that people call the Glimmer Man or the Predator type creature. It resembles the creature from the movie Predator, where it shimmers or glimmers, but has the outline of a humanoid figure, but you can see through it. There are cases of that in the woods. Bruce McAbee, famous UFO researcher, his wife is a bow hunter, and she had a famous case where she was sitting in a tree in a deer stand and could see this translucent creature, another tree over, moving through the tree. She tried to capture it with her cell phone, but it was a little flip phone camera. And at the same time this was happening, on the other side of the area where she was at, there's a high school football field. And I think the marching band was practicing out there. Maybe the football players were practicing. Well, there where they were at, they had a UFO encounter. So again, I think there's a connection there.
Are those common? Because I've heard that there have been other cases throughout history of UFOs, in some cases, accompanying some of this other activity.
Yeah, like I said, it's common in areas where strange things happen. Several types of strange things will happen. You'll have the Bigfoot encounters or Dogman. You'll have the UFO encounters. You'll have people going missing, hauntings. Just inexplicable things. It all tends to group together.
Absolutely. So plane crashes, you mentioned those earlier, which would indicate that perhaps there's some sort of weird energy or whatever we want to call it that could be at play in some of these areas, which of course may explain why individuals go missing, but also why planes crash if they're unable to navigate or their controls are short out or whatever the case happens to be, almost like a Bermuda Triangle situation.
Yeah, that's one of the most famous triangles. The one in Nevada, the one in Alaska, there's a known geomagnetic anomaly there. And is that what's causing the things, or is it caused by whatever else is there? And again, significant number of plane crashes. And indeed, you are correct. If your navigation on your plane doesn't work, then that could be a good explanation as to why it crashed.
Any wreckage that has been found in these areas?
There have been some wreckage recovered, particularly in Alaska. But then there's a lot that they've never found a trace of them. Now, that can be readily explained by saying, you know, because of the snow and the tundra and avalanches and things like that. But again, you know, and same with the Nevada Triangle in that area. It's an extremely high number, and the Nevada Triangle is designated by Las Vegas, Reno, and Fresno, California. It's been just an amazing amount of plane crashes, like 1,600 plane crashes in there. That's much higher than just, you know, an average or something that, for that many to crash within those confines.
Abnormal amount of plane crashes in one particular area.
Right. And it's not limited to planes. You mentioned the Bermuda Triangle, planes, ships, people go missing right there. There's a Michigan Triangle where a lot of boats have gone missing on the Great Lakes, and a lot of ship sinkings in that area. Some of them are famous, like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior. And that, you know, can most likely be attributed to weather conditions. But again, it's odd that a lot of times the weather will act up. That's common in these missing person cases, too. Someone goes missing, suddenly a freak snowstorm or a monsoon rain will come in and hamper the search efforts. Again, it happens too often to be pure or mere coincidence.
And there's just some things that you can't explain no matter how hard you try.
Yeah, exactly. There's no rational explanation, and that's where I think the supernatural comes into play. That the natural laws are our construct and the way we measure things, but when the supernatural comes into play, then our systems of measurement and laws don't necessarily apply.
Seemingly, then, there is no end to what can happen in a scenario like what we're discussing tonight. My guest is Steve Stockton. He's got many great books, a couple of YouTube channels as well. You can link up to this episode on our website and find it all in one place, paranormalradio.com. More with Steve Stockton coming up after this. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Into the paranormal.
I'm Jeremy Scott, somewhere between the paranormal and the abnormal, talking with author and researcher Steve Stockton tonight about all things strange. Legends and Stories, the series of books from the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Continental Divide Trail, that is among his latest series. Of course, he's got the Mysteries in the Dark. Also, the other books that we've talked to Steve about throughout the years, Strange Things in the Woods and More Strange Things in the Woods, Steve?
That was the way it was originally, but my publisher combined both those into one volume. So now it's just Strange Things in the Woods.
All right, fantastic. So tell us about these trails that you mentioned, the three in particular that you write about. And their history.
Yeah, the Appalachian Trail, that's probably the big one. Even though it's not the longest hiking trail, it's the longest footpath. And it's a lot of people through hike it, depending on if you're northbound or southbound. It runs from Mount Katahdin in Maine to Springer Mountain in Georgia, a little over 2,200 miles. And there are people that through hike the whole thing. Passes through all of the South, the Smokies, the Shenandoah Valley, the Blue Ridge, on up into New England. And it's probably one of those things where if you draw a straight line between any two points, you can find a lot of anomalous things along that. But it seems in particular along these hiking trails, not only are there missing people, but there's other anomalous things, you know, ghosts and legends. And I have a series called National Park Mysteries and Disappearances that's kind of the start of that. And then I thought, well, there's all these other legends and stories that don't really fit within the scope of those books. So that's how this series came about from Free Reign Books. But again, it's one of those things people get in the outdoors to recreate, and you don't think that, you know, of course, nobody plans to go missing, although that does happen. There are people that go missing intentionally that just want to disappear or go off grid, or they're running away for something. But I liked looking at each of those three major trails here in the U.S., the Continental Divide Trail and then the Pacific Crest Trail, and looking at things in particular just along that geographic. Now, there are other places, other hotspots near these trails, but there seems to be on the trails themselves an inordinate number of legends and stories and experiences. And especially with the Appalachian Trail, the people that through hike that, or that section hike it, they're a different breed of people, if you will. I've hiked some short sections of it. The longest I ever did was from Springer Mountain up into Damascus, Virginia. I took a couple of months to do it. But there are people that, like I said, hike the whole thing from one end to the other. And it's interesting, some of the stories that you hear on the trail, even like there are certain shelters along the AT that are haunted. There were some murders there. And that's another thing. Serial killers use these trails. And if you think about it, what better place? There's isolated areas, people passing through there hiking, and it would be possible to go in, commit your crime of opportunity, and then get back off the trail. And when they do for a murderer or a serial killer or something. They may, you know, do a dragnet or a manhunt, but they probably don't think about checking the hiking trails. So you could travel literally from Georgia to Maine with impunity, hop off the trail in a little town, do whatever nefarious thing you wanted to do, and then get back on the trail and escape detection. So there's that thing that goes on out there too.
And predators of any kind know that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also, you know, those areas where it passes through, there are bear, there are big cats. There's all kinds of things out there that will kill you and eat you, so to speak. You're no longer the top of the food chain, the apex predator, when you're out there. There are things bigger and meaner and hungrier than you are.
Steve Stockton, make sure to pick up his book. Steve, where's the best place for folks to follow you?
As far as following me, I have a blog on Substack. It's stevestockton.substack.com. And then my YouTube channels, of course, and my books are available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold, as my publisher likes for me to say. And also this latest series, freereignbooks.com. They can get them there. And there's also links if you want a signed copy. I do those out of my Etsy store.
Always good to talk with you, Steve.
Always a pleasure.
Until we do it again, friends. Good night and God bless.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-224-7135. 800-224-7135. 800-224-7135. That's 800-224-7135.